The next item is a very important one for the transition that we're going through. It's a report from the Constitution and Bylaws Committee. And Gabe Griffith is the chair. And we had, you know, you may remember that we started this annual, semi-annual to annual convention transition at the last convention. And one of the things we did was read some constitutional provisions and then for action at this convention. So it's now this convention, and it's time for us to work on some of that. And then we had some stuff come up yesterday at the Constitution and Bylaws meeting. So I think we're gonna let Gabe entertain you for a while. Go ahead, Gabe.
Thanks, Roger. I don't know how entertaining I'll be, so hopefully everybody got their naps earlier. What we have for you is three constitutional amendments that we had the first reading last spring and are going to do the second reading today along with any discussion and voting. And then, as Roger said, we had several items brought to us in our committee meeting yesterday that we will do the first reading today. And hopefully President Pomerantz will allow us some unscheduled time on the agenda tomorrow morning.
Yes.
To do a second reading and discussion and voting on those at that time. So without further ado, let me begin with the second reading of our items that we began last spring. The first one I have for you is Article 17, Constitutional Amendments. Kind of ironic. Current language, Section 17.1. This Constitution may be amended at any regular convention of the Council by an affirmative vote of 2/3 of the members who are present and voting. The proposed amendment shall have been introduced at the previous regular convention of the Council, and it shall have been presented in writing to the Constitution and Bylaws Committee. Section 17.2, this Constitution may also be amended at any regular convention of the Council by an affirmative vote of 3/4 of the members who are present and voting, provided that the proposed amendment shall have been presented in writing to the Constitution and Bylaws Committee, and that it shall have been presented to the Council Convention at least one day prior to the day on which the final action is taken. Proposed actions: delete both Section 17.1 and Section 17.2 and replace them with a rewritten Article 17. The proposed language of that rewritten Article 17 is Article 17, Constitutional Amendments. This Constitution may be amended at any regular conference and convention, provided such proposed amendment has been presented in writing to the Constitution and Bylaws Committee at least 2 days prior to the day on which the final action is taken. Any proposed amendment shall have a first reading to the convention without discussion and a final reading with discussion, parentheses, if necessary, close parentheses, at the time the vote is taken. A 2/3, parentheses, 2/3, close parentheses, vote of those present and voting is required to adopt a constitutional amendment according to voting procedures contained herein. Amendments to the Constitution and bylaws shall take effect on the July 1st, immediately following the relevant vote. The Constitution Bylaws Committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that this amendment be passed. So this, the relevance this has to the annual convention is that when you only have a convention once a year, you don't really want to wait a whole year from the time you read an amendment till you get to vote on it. So we thought that maybe just the one way to do it would be better. So is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. Oh, abstentions. The ayes have it. The amendment is adopted. Next, Gabe.
Okay, the second item has to do with the Newell Perry Trust. And the reason that this needs to be amended is because it refers back to the one that we just did. So this is going to be Article 4, Newell Perry Endowment Trust. And this one's a little bit longer, so bear with me while I read. Current language, Section 14.3, the trustees shall serve without compensation. Their duties shall be to accept, receive, and hold, invest, and reinvest contributions to the Newell Perry Endowment Trust with interest.
Excuse me, there is way too much talking happening out in the audience right now. Folks, at least some whisper if you have to talk to each other, please.
All right, and I will try to get closer to the mic.
And Gabe's getting closer to the mic as well.
As I read, it kind of moves on me. Okay, I will begin from the previous comma. With interest thereon and additions and accretions thereto and such other income that might accrue upon the order of the Board of Directors of the California Council of the Blind shall pay out and distribute the earned income for the purposes set forth in this article. The Board of Directors shall not order the expenditure of the corpus unless a constitutional amendment is adopted for that purpose, which must be proposed at the regular constituted convention prior to the regular constituted convention at which such amendment is adopted as provided in Article 17, Section 17.1 of this Constitution. Actions. Replace the comma after the word accrue with a period and delete the remainder of the section. That is, upon order of the Board of Directors of the California Council of the Blind shall pay out and distribute the earned income for the purposes set forth in this article. The Board of Directors shall not order the expenditure of the corpus unless a constitutional amendment is adopted for that purpose, which must be proposed at the regular constituted convention prior to the regular constituted convention at which such amendment is adopted as provided in Article 17, Section 17.1 of this Constitution, and replace it with, upon the order of the Board of Directors of the California Council of the Blind, the trustees shall pay out and distribute the earned income for the purposes set forth in this article. The Board of Directors shall not order the expenditure of the corpus unless a constitutional amendment is adopted for that purpose as provided in Article 17 of this Constitution. So the proposed language is, Section 4.3, the trustees shall serve without compensation. Their duties shall be to accept, receive, and hold, invest and reinvest contributions to the Newell Perry Endowment Trust with interest thereon and additions and accretions thereto, and such other income that might accrue. Upon the order of the Board of Directors of the California Council of the Blind, the trustees shall pay out and distribute the earned income for the purposes set forth in this article. The Board of Directors shall not order the expenditure of the corpus unless a constitutional amendment is adopted for that purpose, as provided in Article 17 of this Constitution. The Constitution and Bylaws Committee recommends due pass, and I so move.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to adopt this this provision. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in...
Okay.
What about second? What?
Yeah. No, I was just looking at it.
There was a second, and Steve...
There doesn't even really need to be a second for a committee motion.
Right. But Steve Mendelson wants to have discussion.
Is that just... Okay. Where's... Does he get a mic?
Yes.
Okay. Steve.
Thank you. The reference... two references problematical, it seems to me. First of all, the reference to the... paying out of the earned income from the trust according to the purposes set forth in this article. But it's not clear what those purposes are. There's no indication, at least in what Gabe read, as to what those purposes are. So that would be a problem. And second of all, the reference to earned income is gratuitous. Income is income for the purposes of this amendment. And to draw an artificial distinction unintentionally between earned and other income is not wise. Third of all, the long-term problem that you have, I think, is the question of how and when it may be necessary to use the income from the trust, or indeed it may well be the case that it will be necessary to use the proceeds of the trust for organizational purposes, which have not necessarily been contemplated heretofore. And I think you want to consider, although not necessarily in this amendment, but perhaps in a later amendment, the question of making sure that the trustees are authorized to take such action as may be necessary to do that, including the possibility of having to go into court and break the trust under certain circumstances.
Mr. Chair, may I respond?
Gabe wants to respond to this.
As far as your comments about the things not being clear in this particular amendment, it refers to this article. This is Section 4.3, so there's several other sections to this article. So I guess what I would say, Steve, is... before we confirm or before we settle upon it not being clear, let's look at the rest of Article 4 to see, because I don't remember right off the top of my head, and this may be what Mitch is wanting to speak to, I don't know, but it may be laid out more clearly in other article or other sections of this particular article.
Mr. Chairman, two things. Steve, the purposes, and for those who don't know, I am now a trustee. The purposes are set forth earlier as being coincident with the purposes for the existence of the California Council of the Blind, which is, what, Article 2, I think. So the purposes for the trust are to serve the stipulated purposes in our Constitution. To your second point, we've had quite a bit of back and forth the last couple of years regarding the existence of the original document. And while I guess some efforts were made to get that, I have a plan, which I think ultimately will succeed. That is, I'm going to start nagging the Secretary of State's office because they need to have archived that original document. We don't seem to have it. I intend to get it. Beyond that, we've had, and I haven't talked to really either Richard Rutta or Kathy Skivers, who will be a trustee into January, but the reality is that in looking over this entire article, which I did at some length, the corpus, whether it's just the principal or if that includes the interest to date, cannot be touched without constitutional amendment. And I think that some clarification down the road and some streamlining of that process is going to be necessary. But before we do any more tinkering, we absolutely have to get the original document, and we will.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the adoption of this amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Abstentions, the ayes have it. The provision is adopted. Gabe?
Okay, and they've got me a new mic, so hopefully y'all will be able to hear me a little bit better. Yes, Donna, that was a y'all. That was just for Donna. Okay, Article 10, Board of Directors Composition. Current language, Section 10.4, all officers and directors shall be elected for two-year terms, subject, however, to the provisions set forth in this article. The president, first vice president, treasurer, and four directors shall be elected at the fall convention in each even-numbered year. The second vice president, the secretary, and five directors shall be elected at the fall convention in each odd-numbered year. The terms of officers and directors shall commence January 1 of the year following the adjournment of the convention at which their election occurs. Actions. Beginning with the word fall, delete it and the remainder of the section, that is, fall convention of each even-numbered year, the second vice president, the secretary, and five directors shall be elected at the fall convention of each odd-numbered year. The terms of officers and directors shall commence January 1 of the year following the adjournment of the convention at which their election occurs, and replace it with annual convention of each even-numbered year. The second vice president, the secretary, and five directors shall be elected at the annual convention of each odd-numbered year. The terms of officers and directors shall commence on July 1, immediately following the adjournment of the convention at which their election occurs. Add the following explanatory paragraph regarding the change to one conference per year and the need to adjust terms of office. Inasmuch as the council has acted to hold its conference and convention on an annual basis instead of the current semi-annual basis, the service length of those elected in the penultimate and ultimate conventions at which elections were or will be held under the current provisions shall have their terms adjusted accordingly. Those elected fall 2012 shall serve from January 1, 2013 through June 30, 2014. Those to be elected fall 2013 shall serve from January 1, 2014 through June 30, 2015. So the proposed language is section 10.4, all officers and directors shall be elected for two-year terms, subject, however, to the provisions set forth in this article. The president, first vice president, treasurer, and four directors shall be elected at the annual convention of each even-numbered year. The second vice president, the secretary, and five directors shall be elected at the annual convention of each odd-numbered year. The terms of officers and directors shall commence on July 1, immediately following the adjournment of the convention at which their election occurs. Inasmuch as the council has acted to hold its conference and convention on an annual basis instead of the current semi-annual basis, the service length of those elected in the penultimate and ultimate conventions at which elections were or will be held under the current provisions shall have their terms adjusted accordingly. Those elected fall 2012 shall serve from January 1, 2013 through June 30, 2014. Those to be elected fall 2013 shall serve from January 1, 2014 through through June 30, 2015. Okay, and that is the end of that resolution. The Constitution and Bylaws Committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Is there a second? Sorry. Okay. I guess I'm wondering, do we really put that explanatory material in the Constitution? It seems like it's very perishable. Like we should just put it in there for a year or something. Anyway, there's a discussion, I understand.
Yeah.
Who's there?
Yeah, Roger, I know we had some discussion, and that was the idea. We felt that for this year, so that there would be no confusion, we would include that language, and then we would simply, the following year, 2015, spring 2015, we would introduce an amendment simply deleting that explanatory language.
Okay. Any other discussion? So you get... What's going on here is that those of us who got elected last night are going to be serving 18 months instead of 2 years. And those who were elected last year, I didn't hear that.
Jeff said, in what prison are you serving at this time?
Well, they say... If you can't do the time, don't do the crime.
Say it again, Roger.
I said, I used to know a number of people who were in prison and had been, and they used to say, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. And the people who were elected last year will be leaving office 6 months early this coming June instead of this coming June of next year instead of December of next year.
Hi, Mr. Chairman. This is Gloria Broderick. I'm just curious. I probably should know the answer to this question, but I don't. So Are we only going to have conventions in the spring then?
Yes.
Because if we're having them in fall, July 1 would not work. So we're only having spring conventions from now on.
We're only having annual conventions, and they are going to occur, at least for the time being, in the first part of the year, before June. All right, hearing no further discussion, all those in favor of the adoption of this amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Abstentions? The ayes have it. The provision is adopted.
All right.
Now, what else is it that you have, Mr. Chair?
Give me just a second because yesterday's stuff is in a different document, so I don't know if you have anything else you can do for 30 seconds while
this is,
I pull one up.
I was going to say, I grabbed the microphone and I think, you know, yeah, we'll have a door prize. Yeah, Roger said, I told you she was mean.
There, change
do we have a door prize in the house? Oh, Ed's helping somebody get out the door. I guess we don't have... You know, if it, he's acting as security, is he throwing somebody out? Is that what Roger asked? Yeah. Oh, yeah, get him out of here. Throw him out. Yeah, Judy, I agree. Out, out. You know, and did he have his posse with him too when he went out? Is that? Oh, it's just him. Him and his imaginary. Oh. Is that Louis? Okay, no door prize because I have to answer Vita's question. What? Oh, the membership said no. They want a door prize. Okay.
And I'm ready whenever you're done with the
Should we do a cash prize of $25? And you know what? We'll even give you a... with a candy bar in it from Silicon Valley Chapter. And we'll have Roger pick his name out of the till there. Oh, sorry. Did I say that?
Madam Chair, can we do a door prize and a question?
A door prize and a question? What's your question?
It's a, such a quick question.
Quick, fast.
Is there going to be a time for announcements this afternoon?
We'll have time for announcements before we adjourn the session, yes.
Thank you.
Greg Phelps, are you in the room? No. Roger, pick another one.
Roger, pick me.
Or, oh, wait a minute. Or should I say Greg Phelps going once, Greg Phelps going twice? No, he's not in the room. Next. Donna Sanchez, are you in the room? Yay! So it stays in the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind family because she is a member of SBCB. All right, Roger said yes. Gabe, are you ready? Or
I are ready.
I are ready. Y'all get started. Go ahead.
Aren't you glad that I'm chairing the Constitution Committee? Okay, maybe this is why I'm no longer secretary. Okay, we have several items within Article 8 and are proposing a new bylaw. And again, these are just for reading purposes, so I'll read the whole document. There will be no discussion today. We will read them again and have discussion and voting tomorrow. So the first item, original language, is section 8.2. To apply for, this is Article 8, chapter affiliation. So the original language is section 8.2. To apply for affiliation with the California Council of the Blind, the group desiring to be affiliated shall submit to the president and treasurer of the council a copy of its constitution and a list of the names and addresses of its members. The officers of the group shall be indicated on the list. If the council, either in a convention assembled or by action of the Board of Directors, approves the affiliation, the Council President shall issue to the accepted group a certificate of affiliation. The proposed changes after members and before the sentence beginning with if, do the following. Add and phone number, email address if any, format of choice, and vision status, i.e. blind, low vision, or sighted, and delete the officers of the group shall be indicated on the list. Insert a new sentence. An officer information sheet must be submitted, which includes all officers' names, addresses, phone numbers, and email addresses, if any, as well as information requested for the CCB website and CCB email discussion lists. So the new proposed language is Section 8.2, to apply for affiliation with the California Council of the Blind, the group desiring to be affiliated shall submit to the president and treasurer of the council a copy of its constitution and a list of the names, addresses, phone number, email address, if any, format of choice, and vision status, i.e. blind, low vision, or sighted, of its members. An officer information sheet shall be submitted, which includes all officers' names, addresses, phone numbers, and email addresses, if any, as well as information requested for the CCB website and CCB email discussion lists. If the council, either in a convention assembled or by action of the board of directors, approves the affiliation, the council president shall issue to the accepted group a certificate of affiliation. The next item is Section 8.6, and the original language is, each chapter of the council shall notify the council president of election results in writing after each chapter election or after any change of officers in such chapter. Proposed changes: at the end of the section, add, in accordance with the bylaws. So the proposed language is Section 8.2. Each chapter of the council shall notify the council president of election results in writing after each chapter election or after any change of officers in such chapter in accordance with the bylaws. The third change is Section 8.7, and the original language is, each chapter of the council shall send annually to the president and the treasurer of the council a list of the names and addresses of its members. Proposed changes: at the end of the section, add, along with their phone numbers, email addresses, if any, format choice, and site status. So the proposed language is Section 8.7, each chapter of the council shall send annually to the president and the treasurer of the council a list of the names and addresses of its members, along with their phone numbers, email addresses, if any, format choice, and site status. The fourth constitutional amendment is Section 8.9, and the original language is, each chapter shall elect a delegate who is a current voting member of the chapter to attend council conventions and cast the chapter's vote. The chapter may also elect an alternate delegate who is a current voting member of the chapter. The chapter shall provide its delegate and alternate delegate with a credential. Such credential must be submitted to the council president and treasurer at least 30 days prior to each CCB convention. No credential of a delegate or alternate delegate may be accepted unless the annual dues of the chapter seeking to be represented are paid. This section is subject to the provisions set forth in the council bylaws. Changes. At the end of the section, do the following. Delete this. This section is subject to the provisions set forth in the council bylaws. Add, along with the roster as required in section 8.7 and the officer information sheet required in the bylaws. Sorry, my dog was trying to go walkabout there for a second. Proposed language, section 8.9, each chapter shall elect a delegate who is a current voting member of the chapter to attend council conventions and cast the chapter's vote. The chapter may also elect an alternate delegate who is a current voting member of the chapter. The chapter shall provide its delegate and alternate delegate with a credential. Such credential must be submitted to the council president and treasurer at least 30 days prior to each CCB convention. No credential of a delegate or alternate delegate may be accepted unless the annual dues of the chapter seeking to be represented are paid, along with the roster as required in section 8.7 and the officer information sheet required in the bylaws. And the last item we have is a bylaw proposal. Original language. There is no original language. We're proposing to create a new bylaw number and written as follows. It will be bylaw 4, chapter officer information. Each chapter and affiliate shall submit an officer information sheet to the council office. This officer information sheet shall include the officer's name, phone number, mailing address, email address, if any, as well as information for the CCB website and CCB email discussion lists. This officer information sheet shall be submitted along with the roster and shall be updated within 30 days of any change in officers. That concludes the first reading of today's proposed amendments, and so I will turn it back over to, is it Roger chairing?
I think so.
Okay. Well, then I think I'll turn it back over to Roger.
So the bylaw change really didn't have to be read today, but since it goes along with the other things, I thought it'd make sense to read it all.
Especially since a couple of the articles referred to the bylaw that didn't exist before this.
And so this will come back tomorrow morning, I guess, to be enacted, at which time I won't be chairing. Legitimate. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Kathy Schmidt
Whitaker. As long as you don't debate the article.
No, I am not going to debate it. This is Kathy Schmidt Whitaker, and my point of information or clarification is I would like to know what is the and I'm not sure the correct word, so please, work with me here. What is the policy or what is the intent of the use of information of officers on the website? So is there a standard practice of what information, officer information is listed on the website? That is my question, because it is relevant to this proposal.
Yeah, it says, along with the information that we need for the website. I don't have that information right now, and I'm not sure where that information is, actually. What if we... Sorry? What?
Vita has her hand up.
Oh, Vita's a good person to ask about the website.
What would Vita know about the website?
The officer and information sheet specifically says what phone number or email address and or you would like to use for the website, and you can say none. You can it is not a requirement. However, keep in mind that your chapter needs a contact person. So that's my comment there. While I have the mic, can I do also a clarification?
Hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
Because I need to further speak to Kathy's point of clarification. I get a number of calls, and so does the Sacramento office, from a lot more people are visiting our web environment now, and they want to be able to contact chapters directly. So it's also for purposes of that as well. And Vita, you're asking for a point of clarification?
Yes, please. Several times in the document, it said that items would be sent to the council president and council treasurer. Are we now requiring chapters and affiliates to send to two locations, not the CCB office?
I think in practice, you send things to the president or the treasurer, care of the office. We're getting awfully close to debating this, I think. How about if we talk about this tomorrow? What do you think?
I second that.
Yeah, I don't think this is a debate. I think that it's streamlined, and I think that we might want to consider, instead of the information going to the president and the treasurer, that it go to the secretary, again, care of the CCB office.
That would be another amendment.
Well, that's because I was thinking them before you said them.
Well, yeah, that's debate accepted. And, you know, it's tomorrow. We can talk about that tomorrow, and we could actually change it tomorrow because it's a bylaw without, you know, waiting another day or another convention.
As far as the chapter notification after an electric... Oh, I'm sorry. This is Gigi DeMarie from the Redwood Empire chapter. My question has to do with the notification. Is this notification due after the election or after the date that the office is effective?
This is.
In other words, the question was you have to send the report in within 30 days. I'd just like the clarification of which 30-day period are you speaking of.
Mr. Chair, point of order.
Okay. Yes,
It seems to me that these questions are falling really close to debate and would be better off during a debate section after the second reading tomorrow.
Okay.
I would like order on the floor.
Really close to debate.
Please. Okay. I realize that we get all,
actually,
you know, passionate about these things.
And actually, can I clarify my
yes,
previous statement?
Yes, Mr. Chair, please.
I believe the Constitution doesn't say debate. It says no discussion. I would submit that discussion includes questions.
Yeah, well, there's, you know, that's gray about these points of information and clarification, but we are really getting close to debating the issue, I think. Now, you're finished for now, right, Gabe?
I am finished.
Okay. So we will release the chair for now, and we will see him again tomorrow morning.